ധ്യയാമോദളാവഗുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടിക്കീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗതിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മദസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. We saw in the previous shloka, Shankara talking about the basic needs of food, clothing and shelter, and that a person, a jnani who is abiding in contemplation of Brahman, such a jnani doesn't require such a jnani is Kaupina Dhari, person who wears only loin cloth. Such a person doesn't require anything else, such a person doesn't need anything else. And such a person who just wears only a kaupinam, such a person is content with whatever is there. So that contentment is what we generally are seeking. So we are seeking that contentment. The state like where we are able to remain unaffected, we are able to remain unattached, we are able to remain blissful irrespective of the external situation, external conditions. So that is the goal of life. So knowingly or unknowingly, everybody is seeking that goal, that state where we are able to abide as Brahman, we are able to remain as Brahman without getting affected by anything. So actions, it doesn't mean like we have to get rid of actions. Actions are fine. Actions are not against this ultimate truth, which is nididhyasanam, abidance in Brahman is only internal. It's like Krishna says, yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat juhoshi dadasi yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. So whatever you do, it doesn't matter what activities, do it as an offering unto me. So when we perform actions with an offering and like we don't have any sense of ego or doership, so when we don't have that, then actions will not taint us. So brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiyah lipyatena sa papena patma patramiva ambasa. So a person who offers all actions onto Ishvara and performs action without any attachment, such a person is not tainted by or like will not get affected by the sins of the action. Why? Because like he is not the doer. Only the doer can be the enjoyer. He is not the doer. If he is not the doer, then how can he be the enjoyer? So it's like somebody else eating our friend going to the doctor and eating a pill, and our headache getting our headache vanishing. It's not possible. If we have a problem, like then we have to eat. So the doer will be the enjoyer. If there is no doer, I am not the doer, then enjoyership also is not there. This doesn't mean action doesn't happen. Actions continue, but that attachment, identification with the doer vanishes. When that is not there, then a person doesn't get affected by the fruit, whether good fruit or bad fruit. All fruits will be considered as anandam, will only give anandam. So actions are not against this inner renunciation or internally abiding in Brahman. So, but a jnani, a kaupina dhari, he doesn't have anything. So he doesn't like have any possession. He doesn't have like any duties, even worldly duties. He doesn't have. Ultimately, even a worldly person doesn't have any duty. Duty is impossible for even a worldly person, because duty is only for the ego. We are not the ego. If a person says, "I have duty," there are many people in this world who think it's their duty to take care of their parents, give them enough money, feed them. Where will it go? Is that the duty? duty of life is moksha. Because that's very our very nature. If we don't know our own very nature of Brahman and we don't strive to realize that, then what duty can help us? Duty, we think it's our duty, like all of a sudden, like our parents will vanish from earth. And then what will happen? Where did duty go? There's no duty. Duty just vanishes. So we should never let go of this. Let go of Brahman, like in any way, whatever it takes for us to realize, we should never let that go. We should never let passions come in between us and realization. If we do that, many people do that, like I know, like many of us do that. So when we do that, like we lose many births. What is the point of learning Vedanta, like if we are not able to implement it? What is the point of learning that fire will burn if we are not implementing it? If we still put our hand in fire, then what is the point of learning that fire will burn? There's no point. It will be of no use. What will happen, like at the end of our life, we'll have learned a lot of shastras. We can answer questions on Vedanta. We can give lectures on Vedanta. What does it give? Will it give us anandam? Definitely no. It will give anandam when we are listening. When we are listening to Vedanta, it will give anandam. But pull in parents come in front, then where will Vedanta go? Vedanta becomes an avarana, something which is veiled. So Vedanta becomes veiled, and then Vedanta becomes an illusion. So what is the point of such life? So we should never let go of Vedanta, however much it may cost us. It may cost us our body, it may cost us our mind, it may cost us a lot of things. So there are many sannyasis, even the so-called sannyasis are there who are against true Vedanta. Because they all think like there is duty, this is there, that is there. If we are fools to accept such duties, after learning such words like Kaupina Panchakam and all, if we think there are duties, then like we don't know Vedanta at all. We are not fit to even learn Vedanta, because all Vedantic jnanam will go to our intellect and ego. It will boost the ego, then we may think we know a lot, and then, there is that long-haired guy is there, I'll stick on to him, that is enough. That will give me moksha. It will not give us moksha. Moksha is not, as Amma always says, moksha is not attained through sangam. Moksha means asangam, nissangam, that is satsangatve nissangatvam, that should lead to nissangam. If we still stick on to something or the other, then where can we get moksha? Jeevan Mukti, is there satsangatve, nisangatvam, nisangatve, nirmohatvam, nirmohatve, nishchalatatvam, nishchalatatve, Jeevan Mukti. We don't even get satsanga, like from satsanga to nisangam. We still hold on to satsangam. What is the point? There will be no use. Life will be waste. So we should never. This is very important, because we have to judge ourselves. We have been learning Vedanta for 4 years, 5 years. Now what is the point of learning for 4 years and 5 years if we are not able to progress from one standard, one step to other step? If we are not progressing, if we still have passions, if we still are attached, we have bondages, then Vedanta will be of no use. Vedanta will work against us. At the end of this life, we may think we have learned quite a lot. We may have learned chaturvedyapi yo vipadha susukshmam brahma navindati veda bhara barakvantah savai brahmana gardabaha. We'll become like Brahmin donkeys. Donkeys carrying the load of Vedas. We may know the entire Vedas, but it's of no use because we don't know Brahman. If we don't know Brahman, then we won't get anandam. Avijnate pare tattve shastra aditistu nishvala. Vijnate pi pare tattve shastra aditistu nishvala. For a person who has realized the ultimate truth of Brahman, shastras are of no use. What can shastras tell him? Shastras will tell him, you are the self. He is already the self. So if we don't realize that truth, if we don't realize Brahman through Vedanta, then also shastras are of no use, because shastras are supposed to take us to realize state. Shastras are supposed to give us anandam. Shastras themselves will become sources of sorrow. Shastras itself will cause us worry, because we are neither here nor there. So it is very essential we implement Vedanta. Implementation is very, very important. If we don't implement, one, we won't get anandam, and two, we will get the notion that we are progressing, but we will not be progressing at all. So if we are not progressing, then what that means is what something, Vedanta has to go somewhere. If something is like, if we feed a person, the food has to go somewhere. So where will it go rather than going to the source, rather than helping us in removing ignorance, it will help in adding ignorance, which is ego sense. So we may think we know quite a lot, but we will know nothing. So it is very important, implementation is very important, and we can learn from such Kalpina Dharis. Like what does such a person, what would be the state of such a person? Such a person is always abiding in Brahman. Whether he is giving lectures on Vedanta, whether he is interacting with worldly people. We can look at Amma or Balakrishna, whether they are talking, whether they are walking. It doesn't matter. Whatever they are doing, like Nuchur, when he goes to Ramana Ashram, he stays Maunam for 1 month. An entire month. So Maunam, whether it is Maunam, whether it is giving discourses, whether giving discourses on Bhagavatam, on Gita, it doesn't matter what it is. Because internally implementation is happening. If implementation happens, then we will benefit out of it. Or like if we think just by meeting a spiritual master like Amma, if going and meeting a spiritual master like Amma regularly, or listening to Paramartha's discourses daily, will give us moksha, we are totally wrong. Nāyam ātmā pravacanena labhyo, namē dhyāna bahūna śrutena, yamai vesha varanute tena labhyah, tasyaishātmā vivranute tanūṁ svāṁ. This ātman, like the self cannot be known through pravacana, giving discourses. The self cannot be known through a lot of learning or hearing or through one's own intellect. My intellect may be very sharp. Doesn't matter. A person who says like I want the self and who doesn't stop until the self is realized, such a person who has dhrida buddhi, a person who has a strong conviction, strong desire to stick on to Brahman, not who doesn't forsake Brahman for anything. We in the scriptures, we find like at Puranas, we find people, Prahlada standing against his own father, going against his own father for the sake of Brahman. Mahabali going against his own guru for the sake of Brahman. Vibhishana going against his own brother. We see all of those. What all those tell us is that we should never let go of Vedanta. We should implement Vedanta. If we don't, then we will not get the benefit of Anandam. If we don't get Anandam, then there is no point of life itself. Life will be futile. We'll be killing yet another life with no purpose at all. And at the end of this life, we'll have to cry. We'll have to cry and give up this body. And then again, this continues. Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. It is very simple to implement. Implementation is very simple. Whatever happens, I am going to stand by Brahman. Whatever it takes for me to remember Brahman, I am going to do that. If I have to stay away from my parents, fine. No problem at all. I am going to do that. If it requires me to stay away from an ashram environment, fine. If I have to get rid of my job and contemplate on Ishvara in an ashram, that is also fine. Whatever it takes, it doesn't matter what. Whatever it takes, I am going to stand by Brahman. With that attitude alone, we will be able to achieve or get Anandam. Without that, we won't get any Anandam. So such Kaupina Dharis, they have nothing at all. Whatever they are doing, like he doesn't have any possession. If he doesn't have any possession, then what does he hold on to? He holds on to Brahman always. He holds on to Brahman at all costs. Oh, Ramana Maharshi was not such a Kaupina Dhari. He had an ashram. So once there was a case, there was a court case. Somebody put a case against the ashram itself, that the ashram was their property or something like that. And the local magistrate, went to interview Ramana Maharshi. When he went to interview Ramana Maharshi, he asked, what would you do if a bad person means, let's say, drunkard or somebody, comes to your ashram? One second. So Ramana Maharshi said, like, if such a person comes, I'll tell the person to go away. Okay, you tell him to go away, but if he still doesn't go away, what will you do? Then Maharshi said, like, if he doesn't go away, then I will walk away from that place. That is total surrender. That is like when a person is able to let go of everything. So this Gaupinam, as we discussed, Gaupinam, this state where a person is not attached to anything is not just external. But I am not a Gaupinadhari, therefore this work is not suited for me. If we think, then better drop off from this discussion. Because then like we won't benefit anything out of it. If we think we are not such, we cannot become such Gaupinadharis, we are not eligible for this work, then better not learn it, because it will be of no use. It will be a wastage of time. We could do much better things in that time period. So loin cloth means like there is no attachment. That is the point there. Attachment means it's all internal. It's not external, it is inner. So internal attachment is what is meant here and not external state. So internally, such a person, such a jnani will always remember Brahman. How tough is it to remember Brahman? Like, it is very easy to remember our parents, it is very easy to remember friends, it is very easy to remember work. When we have work, when we have to go for a party, like, we will very easily go. We will remember as well. We do remember when we have to go to work, we do remember I have to get up in the morning, I have to go. So we are able to do that. How are we able to become so strict about it? How are we not forgetting? Like, how do we always remember to go to work? Why don't we forget, like, one day, like, I forgot that I have work today, so I didn't sleep. Do we say? Nobody says that. Why? Because if we say that, you won't get money. So there's something at stake there. So that, because something is at stake and we want that something, therefore we are particular about it. Such particular, we should become particular about Vedanta as well, because that is what will give us Anandam. So that particular, creating that particular is very easy, because we are already used to such being particular with a lot of things. Whether it is food, whether it is money. So many things we are particular about in this world. So if we are particular about many things in this world, then we can be particular about Vedanta as well. It is very easy. Just because I told, like, we have to keep Brahman first, and then if we have to stay away from our parents and our work and all, that doesn't mean we have to stay away from work. It is just a way of telling. That's it. If Vedanta cannot be implemented by working, then we should. There is nothing wrong in quitting work. But it is my conviction that, like, nothing in this entire world will come against Vedanta. Why? Hiranya himself says, the world that we experience is sadhakam. Sadhakam, abhadakam. It is sadhakam, it helps. Abhadakam, it is not an obstacle. It doesn't pose an obstacle, any obstacle for spirituality, for Vedanta. Then what poses an obstacle for spirituality? What poses an obstacle is our mind, our mental perception, our attachment. So attachment can very easily be negated. How? The world is Brahman. If the world is Brahman, if everything is one Brahman, then where can there be any attachment? Tatra ko moha kaha shokaha ekatvam anupashyatah. A person who sees oneness everywhere, a person who sees everything as Brahman, everything as names and forms of Brahman, such a person, how can there be any attachment? How can there be any ragam? How can there be any dvesham? There cannot be anything. Nothing can be there. Why? Because such a person sees only Brahman. If everything is only Brahman, then like what to get attached to, what to get averted to? There cannot be any Dvaita Bhavam itself vanishes. Dvandva Bhavam. When Dvandva Bhavam vanishes, then there is no attachment, there is no aversion, there is no like, there is no dislike, there is no kamam, there is no krodham, and there is no nasham, there is no dukkham as well. Sukha-dukkham. Sukha-dukkham also is Dvandva Bhavam. So such sukha dukkham also will not happen. Like, we will not experience any sukham or dukkham. Why? Because we see everything as one Brahman. Like, if we remember that everything is one Brahman, then how can we become happy or sad? Whatever happens, like, we will be happy. Because we will remember that it is just everything is Brahman. And if we are not able to remember that, then Vedanta says it is like a drama. So it is like a dream world. Dream world is not real. Drama is not real. portray the role very well, but internally, a person like Shah Rukh Khan might act in a movie, or Robert De Niro might act in a movie, Al Pacino might act in a movie so much, like they would act like so good that people will be deluded into thinking that they are the real character. So much. But even when they are acting, they know internally that they are not that. I am so and so, they know. They know that they are not like when Johnny Depp acts in Pirates of the Caribbean, he knows that I am not Jack Sparrow. He knows each and every minute that he is Johnny Depp. He just plays his role. While playing the role, whatever he has to do, he will do. So it is very easy externally doing our actions, at the same time internally remaining unaffected is very easy if we remember the nature of this world. This world is an illusion, it is just a drama, it is just a dream. So such dreams are not real. And when we think it is real, that is when we get attached and averted. So we get attached when we think it is real. When we consider this world as real, we will become attached to the world. When we become attached to the world, there is something to lose if we don't keep up with the world and its expectations. So that is when problems get created. When there is an expectation that I should get so much money, I should earn so much money, then we will suffer because we may be able to work until 60 years. After that, we may have to find some very small work. If economy is down or our capability gets reduced, then we will not be able to work well. We will not be able to get a good work. If we don't get a good work, then we will not get good money. If we don't get good money, then like we will become very sad. So that expectation will not be there if we remember that this world is an illusion. So what money? Whatever I get, ellabaseenija, karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. So whatever money I get from this, like, by working, I'll be happy with that. Oh, if like I have taken a loan, I have to pay the loan. I'll try to get as much loan as possible, money as possible. But if this is an illusion, then if I have to cut the loan, I'll not even think twice about doing that. So we may think that many people like Amma are also attached to their disciples. When Gayatri, Amma's, one of the Amma's foremost sannyasini disciple, Amrita Prana. So when she went to Himalayas, long before that, Amma had given her a promise that whenever Amma would leave the body, Amma will take her also with. So that was the closeness between Amma and her. But now like she went to Himalayas, probably started an ashram there, nobody knows what happened. But she's not with Amma now. Amma is not sad because she went. Amma is unaffected. We may think like Amma is very attached. Amma was very attached to her people like that. Amma is not attached to anyone. We may think Amma respects Swamiji's. Amma talks about Amrit Swarupananda very much. Amma is attached. No. When Amrit Swarupananda leaves, Amma will be very happy. Amma will be all blissful. Why? Because they know that all these attachments are just an illusion. So that means when an extreme situation happens, then also they will be able to remain very blissful. So that is the state that we have to strive for. Irrespective of whether something good is happening in the world, whether something bad is happening in the world, whether things are going as per how we want it, whether things are not going as per how we want it, it doesn't matter what or how it is. Anandam, or remaining very blissful, that is the goal of life. And if we think like we can remain blissful just by learning Vedanta and not implementing Vedanta, very much wrong. Implementation of Vedanta means remembering it always. Else, when somebody is facing a problem, we'll be able to say Jagan Mithya. When we face the problem, we'll not be able to say the same thing. So it is very tough, like it's not easy. It is not as easy as we think. We have to put a lot of effort. We have to take the conviction, create the conviction and take the resolution that whatever may, in mama astu tadastu may, whatever may happen, I am going to remain as Brahman. Unless such strong conviction is there, a person will easily fall a prey to what Krishna calls as Maya. So that's why Krishna says, Daivi Hiesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratiya. Oh Arjuna, my Maya made up of three gunas is very tough to conquer. So Mameva ye prapadyante Maya metam tarantite. So whoever take refuge in me, they will cross over Maya. Take refuge means prapatti. Prapatti means filling our mind with Brahman. Prapatti means sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. Renounce everything. Mamekam, take resort to me alone in the mind. Externally, yes, oh, I have to take resort to the milk that I get from shop. Yes, of course, if I have to drink coffee, like I have to depend on the milk that I get from the shop. That doesn't mean like I will depend only on Brahman, I will not take milk. That's impossible, you won't survive. So externally I will take milk, but internally I will only take resort to Brahman. Internally, oh, milk is also Brahman. I'll go to the shop. If I get milk, oh, very good, I am very happy. If there is no milk, oh, that is fine, I'll be content with water. If there is no water, I'll be content with air. If there is no air, then I'll be content with my own self. If there is no air, then there is no problem because body will vanish. If body vanishes, very easy. So no more trouble. Troubles are caused by the body, the sense of the body. The body is not there, then got trouble, there is no trouble. So anyway, remaining blissful at all times, that is what we have to do. And that can be achieved only by remembering that Brahman alone exists. So whatever we see here, the duality that we see, manase vedam aptavyam nehana nasti kinchana. Know through the mind that there is no duality whatsoever here. Then what does exist? What does exist? Brahma ivedam amritam purasthat brahma paschat brahma dakshinatascha uttarena. Brahman in the front, Brahman in the back, Brahman everywhere. Everywhere it's only Brahman. So there is only Brahman, there is only sarvam ishwaramayam. Vishavasim idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagattena tektena bunjitaha magradaha kasyasvil magradaha kasyasvil dhanam. This entire world is pervaded in and out by Ishvara, by Brahman. Because of the world has yato vaimani bhutani jayante ena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisamvishanti tad vijidnyasasva tad brahmeti. So because that from which this world has come, that in which this world resides, that onto which this world merges at the time of destruction, that is called Brahman. And like that Brahman, when we remember, so that Brahman, this world itself is that Brahman. So the world is an effect of Brahman, which means the world is Brahman. World is Brahman and Brahman alone. So that Brahman is there in each and every object of this world, each and every particle of this world. The tiniest particle is Brahman. So that is what we have to remember. Everything is just Brahman. Everything is one Brahman because it is Brahman. That is the truth. Even as Ghatagundhya Adhikam Sarvam Mrtika Matramevahi Tadvat Brahma Jagat Sarvam Iti Vedanta Dindima. Ghatam Kudyam, pot, wall, etc. are just objects made of mud, which means they are mud and mud alone. Similarly, this world is Brahman and Brahman alone. The difference is just name and form. Even as various gold ornaments are different names and forms of gold, similarly this world is also different names and forms. Names and forms are many, but names and forms don't have any reality. What is real? Real is the essence. What is the essence? Brahman. And when we remember, this is very easy to remember in the mind. That is implementation. Implementation is standing by it, not letting that vanish from our mind. Whatever happens, I am going to remember Brahman in my mind. Ambariksha was able to do, whereas Durvasa was not able to remember this. So Durvasa goes to meet Ambariksha. So when Durvasa goes to meet Ambariksha, Ambariksha was doing a fasting. So it's a very famous story, but like we'll repeat again. So Durvasa was doing a fast, was fasting for an yajna, which is for the benefit or the welfare of his beings, the beings in the world. So at that time Durvasa came. Ambariksha welcomed Durvasa and then invited him for food. Durvasa said, I'll take bath and come. So Durvasa went to take a bath. At that time the auspicious time to break a fast came. So once that fast passes by, then it's not auspicious time. So things have like yajnas and all are karma. So when it comes to karma, karma have their rules. There are rules for karma. If we have to take a paste out of the toothpaste, then we have to like open the knob and then press. If we just start pressing, it won't work. So we have to open and then press. If we want to make tea, then like we will have to keep the kettle on fire. We can't just keep the kettle like, everything is there. I put water in it, I put milk, I put tea, but there is nothing comes out of it. Why? You didn't keep it on fire. So actions have rules. So those rules have to be followed. We should try to follow them as much as possible. It's trying to follow rules externally is not a problem for Vedanta, because Vedanta talks about remembering Brahman in the mind, not externally. So externally, it doesn't matter what we do. Externally, we can do anything. So anyway, there was rule for this karma. So therefore, what happened was, Ambariksha consulted like his ministers and others. So they said, okay, if you drink water, then it is like breaking the fast. So it is like breaking the fast. So Ambariksha also said, okay, this is good. I won't be eating food because Durvasa is coming. Like, I have to wait. So drinking is kind of okay. So I'll drink. And Ambariksha drank water, little bit water, and broke his fast. So Durvasa is like many of us. Durvasa has got a lot of siddhis. A lot of knowledge, scriptural knowledge. Scriptural knowledge, when we follow a spiritual path with sadhana and all, we will get a lot of siddhis, like writing songs, many such siddhis, singing well, poetic in nature, being able to remain without food, being able to overcome sleep, all those are siddhis. So siddhis, lot of siddhis we will get like when we follow the spiritual path. But those siddhis are not realization. Siddhis means its thoughts are there. Siddhis means what are siddhis? Siddhis means miraculous powers. That means duality is automatically accepted there. So wherever there is dvaitam, then dvitiya dvai, bhayam bhavati. Dvaitam is there, bhayam will be there. Bhayam means dukkam. So dukkam will be there, because there cannot be any anandam. So Durvasa had siddhi, so he saw through his divine powers that there is, or Ambariksha had drank some water. He became very angry. So there is nothing to get angry there. What is there to get angry? If he was in Jnani, he would have said, oh, that is fine, he just drank. Oh, Ambariksha, you should have just eaten food. That's okay, I can have later. Oh, no. For Durvasa, it's not the case. Why? I am a sannyasi. You should respect a sannyasi. What sannyasi? A sannyasi who doesn't remember Brahman is not a sannyasi at all. But Ambariksha was not affected by any of this. So Durvasa got angry. He took a hair out of his head and then like he hit it on the floor. There was a demoness created out of it, Rakshasi. And the Rakshasi started towards Ambariksha to attack him. And the Rakshasi's footsteps itself, like the earth was trembling there. So everybody was afraid. Ambariksha didn't move at all. And when this Rakshasi was approaching Ambariksha, without Ambariksha's knowledge, Ambariksha was a person who stood by Brahman. A person who stands by Brahman will always be protected by Ishvara. Ishvara is bound to protect a person who remembers Brahman. Why? Because such a person who remembers Brahman has captured Ishvara in his heart. A person who has captured Ishvara in his heart, like how can Ishvara not protect him? Because it is as good as Ishvara present there. So if something bad happens to him, it is like something bad happening to Ishvara. So Ishvara will protect. So Ishvara had sent Sudarshana Chakra saying, oh Chakra, like you stay there and protect Ambariksha. And the Chakra came and killed the Rakshasi. And then it started going towards Durvasa. Durvasa didn't know what to do. He started running. He went to Indra. Indra said, "Oh no, Sudarshana Chakra, run away." "Oh, Sudarshana Chakra is like Osama bin Laden. If Osama bin Laden comes, then run away. Like, don't even stay here. I'll be in trouble. So run away." And then like he goes to Brahma. Brahma says, "Oh no, no, no. This is Vishnu Chakra. I cannot do anything. Try Shiva maybe." He goes to Shiva. Shiva says, "Oh, Vishnu Chakra, go to Vishnu. There is only resort." So Durvasa ran to Vishnu. Then Vishnu said, "Oh, oh Durvasa, people say this is my chakra and all. But I can't do anything. I am a slave to my devotees." Bhagavatam says, "I am a slave to my devotees. I cannot do anything. Why did you have to do all this?" "So, like, if I can't do anything, just go to Ambarish only. He can protect you. And don't stay here. If you stay here, the chakra will attack you and it may attack me as well. So, get out." Indirectly, it's like, get out. So, Durvasa goes running. And then a jnani, a person who remembers that everything is Brahman, where is there revenge for a jnani? Revenge itself means Vaita Bhava. There is no revenge. So, when Durvasa came, like, Ambarisha hadn't still eaten food. So, Ambarisha saw and asked, "Okay, why Durvasa, why are you running?" So then Durvasa said, "Like, there is chakram is coming behind me. You have to protect me." And, "Oh, I didn't know that." "Well, no problem. It's done. Taken care of." And then Ambarisha says, "Oh, Durvasa, come. Let us have food together. Let us have food together." And then they both have food. So one person is a jnani. A jnani, like, for a jnani, whether Durvasa comes, whether Durvasa goes, whether Durvasa is angry, it doesn't matter for a jnani. For a jnani always abides in Brahman. Yes, sorry. So a jnani always abides in Brahman. So a jnani is always contemplating about Brahman. So a jnani who is abiding, like, or contemplating on Brahman, for such a jnani, where is there a difference between Durvasa? Where is the difference between Indra and a beggar? King Ganga Muni Bimbite Ambaramano Pureva Antaramasti. Pure, I think I missed a few shlokas. So in another beautiful work, Manisha Panchakam, Shankara says when a person is able to see, view the water of Ganges and the water, a drainage water, in the same way, then a person is realized. That is the state of a jnani. And such a jnani who abides always in Brahman, there is no bedam. When there is no bedam, then there is no dukkam. Dukkam is caused out of bedam. So, that is what Shankara speaks about in the third shloka. That such a jnani, it's not about the external, like whether he is being content with food and all those. Anandam, anandam, anandam. Swananda bhave paritushtimantaha. Tushtimantaha means remaining content. Paritushtimantaha means always remaining content. Thoroughly, continuously remaining content. In what? Swananda bhave, in ananda bhavam. In bliss. What bliss? In blissful experience. Swanandam. Bliss inside him. So we are all content with bliss outside. Not with bliss inside, with bliss outside, like we are content. We are generally content with bliss outside, not inside. So for a jnani, he is content with the bliss inside because he has found the source of bliss. That he knows that his very nature of Brahman is blissful. His very nature is blissful. Bliss is inside. So he is always blissful, content with bliss inside. So such a jnani, why would such a jnani want a house? He has what the entire world. So Trailinga Swami lived a few centuries back. So Trailinga Swami used to wear just one loincloth, that's it. He had a big farm. He lived for 200 years or so. So once a king offered him a kingdom in his name. Some places, some towns or some kingdom, whatever we can say. So there was a Trailinga Swami laughed and said, like, this entire world is mine. Why would I need a small petty kingdom? This entire world, for this jnani, entire world is his. aptakamasya kaspurha. Where is there any desire? There is no desire for such a jnani because he has attained the supreme. After attaining the supreme, there is no desire at all. There is no cause for any desire. Desires just end. Desire fulfillment, desires just vanish. So, svananda bhave paritushti mantaha. He remains very content in his inner blissful state. Sushanta sarva indriya vritti mantaha. So, sarva indriya vritti. All the indriyas, sushantam. So, indriyas, vritti, mind, manas, everything are sushantam. Shantam means peaceful. So, shantam means we do get shantam when something good happens. When something happens as per what we want or our mind wants, then we'll remain like shantam, we'll remain peaceful. But like that peace is short-lived here. Sushantam. Sushantam means very, very peaceful. So always peaceful means like his mind, indriyas are kind of, internally he is content, then why would indriyas be running behind things? Indriyas will not crave for anything. Mind will not crave for anything. Mind will not have thoughts. It's only the thought of Brahman. So, ahar nisham brahma suke ramantaha. Another word or another reading is ahar nisham brahmani ramantaha. Ramantaha, something else. So, ahar nisham, day and night, brahma suke ramantaha, he delights, ramantaha delights in the bliss of Brahman. So, day and night, there is no day and night for such a person. Such a person, there is no difference, bheram completely. If dvandva bhavam is not there, where is day and where is night? So where is my place, where is others' place? Where there is good, where there is bad? Where is foreign country, my country? So many people who think they are, realize they will say, oh, I don't like, you know, I don't like the United States. Why? It's not my country. It's not my culture. It's not my type. We say, he is not my type, she is not my type, same way. So people think they know Vedanta and they'll say like everything is one Brahman, and then they'll say, this is not my type. Everything is Brahman. Where are we going for lunch? So we are going for Taco Bell. Oh, I don't like Taco Bell, you know. It's not my type, so I need something better. Pizza is fine. So internally tell everything is Brahman. And when food comes, they become very particular. So particular that if that is not there, then like for the entire day, if you, by chance, there is no pizza place nearby and only Taco Bell, then like the entire day, it will be brooding and talking over it again and again. I couldn't eat anything proper, you know. Why? I'm sorry. I couldn't eat proper. Why? Because, you know, like we went to Taco Bell, I didn't like it. So there is nothing like that for a jnani, for such a person. Anyway, a person who sees everything as Brahman, santushto yena kena chit, whatever comes, he'll be content with it. He'll be happy, he'll be blissful with whatever happens. Yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha, yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati, Nandati Nandatyeva. So yogam, he does bhogam, sangam, like he is attached to people, like he has to get attached to people, so he gets attached to people. So when four people are together, like when three people are along with such a person, he will be attached to them, he will remain very attached to them. He will ask, okay, how are you? Did you eat? Do you want something and everything? Asangam, like when those three people are not there, asangam, very blissful. Sangam sangavihinam. Why? Because asya brahmani ramate chittam. Asya chittam brahmani ramate. One whose mind is abiding, rejoicing in Brahman, when you're contemplating in Brahman, whose mind is filled with Brahman, what else would be the experience other than anandam? So there's a beautiful work called Tripura Rahasyam. So in Tripura Rahasyam, a story is given. So there is a king and a queen. So the king and the queen learn Vedanta together. It is very similar to the Shikidwaja Chudala story in Yoga Vasishta. So the Tripura Rahasyam also a similar story comes. So a queen, king and queen both learn Vedanta together. And that the queen realizes, the king doesn't. So the king sees that the queen is blissful. So when the queen is doing activities, the queen is very happy with that. When the king is with the queen relishes in his presence. Sensual pleasures the queen enjoys with the king. But when the king is not there, the queen is still happy, still blissful. So the king was surprised. So the king asked her, like, how is it that you are able to remain blissful? And the queen said, like, because everything is Brahman, I am able to remember that. We both learn together. So thinking about, oh, then the king realized, okay, we both learned, so I should try to implement. The king starts implementing. When the king starts implementing, what happens? He is in between. He has not reached that final state. So what happens? The king wants to fill his mind with Brahman alone, Brahma Chintana. So that means he stops doing worldly activities. When the queen is along with him, like, he tries to avoid the queen, quickly get rid of her and then contemplate on Brahman. The queen sees this and then the queen says, my dear, this is also not a final state. You are not in a final state. Final state is where you, whether you are enjoying sensual pleasures or not, you will be blissful. So now you want to be without sensual pleasures. You want to abide in Brahma Chintanam alone. And when you get, when you are forced to experience sensual pleasures, you are getting angry with it. You are getting desperate to get back to the state of Brahman. So many people are very desperate to go and meet Amma. So if they are not able to meet Amma, then cry and make a big fuss out of it. And giving this reason that, oh, you only said that you should not cry about meeting Amma. Therefore, I will not meet Amma. So people, like, when Amma comes very close, people will give all sorts of reasons. Like, I don't know the place. I cannot travel. I cannot walk. So it is as if Amma has to come to them. Amma has to visit each and every house. And if Amma is not there to visit, then whenever somebody is coming, it's like a VIP treatment. Amma has to tell, oh, my son is coming, go and send a cab and bring him. That is how our conviction is. And we will give all these crap reasons also. Wrong, false reasons, totally false reasons. So that's not the case. We have to try, we have to strive our best to learn Vedanta, because if we don't even do that, saying I am realized, then definitely we are not realized. Yadi manyase suvedit tanunam tvam veda brahmano rupam. So if you say that you are realized, you don't know brahmano rupam, you don't know the rupam of Brahman, you don't know Brahman at all. So we have to strive, we have to strive to be in the state of Brahman, but if we are not able to, then we should not become sad. We should strive, we should put effort, we should not, we are not small kids or babies that we don't know the ways of the world as to how to meet Amma, how to implement Vedanta, how to get discourses, how to listen to Shastra. Everything is available today. We just have to put an effort into working towards it. So anyway, the queen said, like, you should always remain content with whatever you have. And that is possible when you remember internally that everything is Brahman. Sensual pleasure, that is also Brahman. I will try to meet Amma. If I am not able to, I will be content. If I am able to, I will still be content. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha mohameva cha pandava na dveshta sampravrittani na nivrittani kankshati. While speaking about a person who goes beyond the three gunas, such a jnani, who is beyond the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. So, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha moham eva cha pandava. Pravritti, activity, nivritti, or without any activity, moham, delusion means sleep. So, any of those, na dveshti sampravrittani. A person doesn't get angry when he gets into any of these. So, I am not able to contemplate on Brahman because I have work to do. I will be content with my work. Why? During work also I can do. Like, how? If we are doing work and we can sing bhajans in between work, then why can't we chant shlokas? Why can't we remember Brahman doing work during work? It's possible. If one thing is possible, other thing is also possible. So na dveshti sampravrittani, is not angry because he doesn't, he gets into any of these activities rather than just Brahma Chintanam. And then Nivrattani Kankshati, when he gets into all these activities, he doesn't want to come out of it as well. He doesn't crave, like, he doesn't crave for anything. He's content with whatever. If they are there, if activities are there, happy. If activities are not there, happy. If a person is content, then if activities are there, like, a person will not want to come out of it. So a jnani, such a jnani state is what we have to strive for. If we remember just blindly, if we remember everything is Brahman in our mind, then we will be able to achieve that state very quickly, very easily. It's very easy, it doesn't require that much effort and all. It is very easy. It's very simple to implement, just remembering that everything is one Brahman in the mind. And then we will be able to rejoice in Brahman. Aharnisham Brahma Sukhe Ramantaha. Such a person is Bhagyam. So may Amma bless us so that we may become blessed like the Kaupi Navantaha, so that like we can ever relish, rejoice in bliss of Brahman. Every moment that we spend in this world, we'll be able to remain very blissful, very content and very peaceful. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to achieve that in this very birth itself. We'll continue the next day. I'm sure.